I'll quote here from the Washington Post's coverage of this shock decision today in Georgia. Quote, democracy advocates accused the board of intentionally injecting chaos and uncertainty into the presidential contest. Election supervisors and poll workers said hand counts would take too long, cost money, and almost certainly produce counting errors. Quote, critics say because the hand counting requirement would almost certainly inject error into the tabulation process, it could give county boards the evidence they need, meaning the pretext they need, to delay certification. They're going to try to make Georgia take months to count?
No. Actually, that's not what they're doing at all, Rachel Maddow. Not at all.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Far be it for me to defend Georgia.
Right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the broadcast as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, also in California in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN, up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, Eugene's KEPW, Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internet. It's on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. As usual, this time of year, we will be focusing on the November elections once again today with what many, including Rachel Maddow, over on MSNBC, apparently, as you heard at the top, saw as alarming news out of Georgia on Friday, but spoiler alert, perhaps you should not be quite as alarmed as Rachel was, since since the news seems to have been wildly misreported over the weekend, including by Ms. Maddow. I will have an expert on Georgia elections and a longtime favorite guest on the broadcast joining me momentarily to straighten that all out. And if you have some questions for her, well, you can write down our phone number right now if you are listening in our live Southern California listening area or anywhere around the world via kpfk.org. Our phone number is 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. Write it down in case you have any questions. First, a few very quick news headlines today with several items that we may revisit in the coming days. In more detail at the beginning of what is clearly yet another busy news week. Oh, for a change. First, Desi Doyen, just spinning up before airtime, Hurricane John, is it, in the west?
Yes, Hurricane John in the Pacific. That's about to hit Mexico's west coast, the state of Oaxaca. So that'll be overnight Monday into Tuesday. And then, for the lucky folks on the Gulf Coast, back in the Caribbean right now, a new storm is spinning up rapidly, likely to become Hurricane Helene, expected to become potentially a major Category 3 hurricane or higher, possibly.
It's called Storm 9 for the moment because it has yet to spin into either a full tropical storm or a hurricane. But it looks almost certain that it will be Hurricane Helene.
Yes, that does appear that it will be Hurricane Helene, but it'll be on Thursday or later potentially.
And moreover, I should note, and I haven't heard anyone speaking about this yet, but it's just me. I'm not a climatologist. I'm not a hurricane expert. But it looks to me like Hurricane John on the west coast of Mexico could cross over the peninsula into the Gulf at around the same time that Hurricane Helene finds her way into the Gulf. Is it possible we could have two hurricanes in the Gulf at the same time, making landfall around the same time, Desi Doyen?
It is definitely possible. It's not clear if that will happen or not, but it is definitely possible.
All right. Apologies for that computer noise that is encroaching in on us. Not sure where it's coming from. No, I don't think it's me or Desi. I'm going to blame my engineer, Wendell. In any event, we'll keep our eyes on both of those storms, of course, as the week progresses. Sadly, once again, we also have to go to the Middle East today, where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu continued to expand his war to a second front in order to prolong his time in office in hopes of extending his efforts to stay out of jail and avoid facing corruption charges, which were already filed before taking office and which will likely be brought against him once he is out of office for that and now for potential war crimes charges that he might face after eventually leaving office, if he ever does, which well, all of these things will almost certainly happen once his wars against Gaza and now apparently against Hezbollah in Lebanon eventually wind down, if they ever do. Israeli strikes on Monday killed nearly 500 and wounded more than 1,000 Lebanese in the deadliest barrage since the 2006 Israel-Hezbollah war. As the Israeli military warned residents in southern and eastern Lebanon to evacuate ahead of a widening air campaign, thousands have now fled in the biggest exodus since 2006 as thousands of rockets were fired in response by Hezbollah into Israel and as Israel continued its deadly bombardment elsewhere down in Gaza. Here at home over the weekend, congressional leaders have reportedly reached a deal on a clean continuing resolution to keep the government funded and open into the new fiscal year beginning on October 1. That said, given the Republicans' behavior, particularly in the House, I would not assume any of this is a done deal until it is actually a done deal, passed by both houses of Congress and signed by the president. But Republicans do seem to have figured out that shutting down the U.S. government just weeks before a presidential election, when every single member of the U.S. House and a third of the Senate will be on the ballot, well, that's probably not the smartest political move, despite party leader Donald Trump insisting that Republicans shut down the government on October 1, if a bill to prevent non-citizens from voting isn't included in any such deal. It is, of course, already illegal for non-citizens to vote in federal elections. And after House Speaker Mike Johnson's attempt to include such a measure in a bill to keep the government open at current funding levels failed spectacularly last week among his own party, well, that demand appears to have been dropped in the latest reported agreement. The reported deal would avert a government shutdown by providing funding for the government only through December 20, setting up another lame duck holiday season shutdown fiscal cliff that Republicans now bring upon the country with some regularity. So, hey, Merry Christmas to all. New FBI data, meantime, reveals that violent crime in America, including murder, has dropped precipitously across America over the past year. That, as the economy and the stock market continue record runs, even as Donald Trump's failing media company, which trades on the NASDAQ as DJT, his initials, plummeted yet again on Monday to yet another all-time low, having lost more than 80% of its value since its trading high earlier this year. It fell more than 10% on Monday alone, that after falling more than 25% last week and closing at just over $12 a share. It seems to be continuing its skid toward what I had warned months ago to MAGA investors. Could be the case by the time we get to Election Day that the Trump Media Group could be trading as a penny junk stock by then. Tried to warn you. And speaking of Trump grifts, CNN is reporting today that Melania Trump, who has been almost entirely absent during her husband's 2024 presidential campaign, was paid more than $250,000 to appear at a political fundraiser. By the way, at her own home in Mar-a-Lago this year. Though it's not known who actually cut the check to her, it was a fundraiser for a Republican LGBTQ group called the Log Cabin Republicans. All of that now as new polling numbers out over the weekend suggest Kamala Harris has seen an historic surge in popularity for a presidential candidate since stepping up to run at the top of the Democratic ticket, even as the race remains very close, both nationally and in the seven key battleground states, essentially tied within the margin of error in just about all of them. If you believe the polling averages presented by the major corporate media outlets are accurate, who knows? No one is the answer. And as more early and vote-by-mail voting begins, gets underway in yet more states this week. Yes, everything happening at once. But as usual, where we tend to focus on this program is not on the horse race, but on the track conditions that the horses are running on. And there was a change to the track conditions in one key swing state on Friday that has apparently freaked out a whole bunch of folks since then. And no wonder, given how atrociously most of the corporate media reported this news. You heard Rachel Maddow reporting a little bit of her coverage at the top of today's show. But here's what she was, where she was getting her news, as it all came in sort of, you know, blaring breaking news alerts to my iPhone on Friday afternoon. Washington Post, breaking news. Pro-Trump Georgia Election Board orders counties to hand count ballots, a move critics say will cause chaos. CNN, breaking news. Trump allies on Georgia Election Board approve controversial new rule requiring ballots be hand-counted despite warnings from state officials. NBC, breaking news. Trump allies on Georgia's election board vote to require ballots to be hand-counted despite bipartisan warnings of drastic delays. And, of course, the New York Times, breaking news. Georgia's right-wing election board ordered hand-counting of all ballots cast on Election Day, a move that critics say could cause chaos. Chaos! Well, that sounds bad. And those were all within, you know, just a matter of minutes of each other on Friday, panicking many, particularly on the Democratic side of the aisle, who, I will admit, are easily panicked these days. But that was national media. They frequently get these matters wrong when it comes to local and state matters. How about the Atlanta Journal-Constitution in Georgia? How did they report on all of this on Friday as the news broke? Well, here's how. The state election board's Republican majority voted on Friday to require a hand count of all ballots after polls close on election night, a new requirement that could delay results of the presidential race. County election directors universally opposed the 11th-hour counting mandate, saying it would undermine voter confidence in the election results. They said it will. It said that results will come in more slowly, ballot box seals would be broken, manual counts could be inaccurate. This sounds terrible. Hand counts of ballots has become an initiative of supporters of former President Donald Trump, AJC reports, who mistrust Georgia's electronic voting system. Now, just a quick side note, some of us who are not supporters of former President Donald Trump also mistrust Georgia's electronic voting system, but for very good reasons that we have spent years reporting on this program. But more on that in a moment. Back to AJC here. The board approved the hand counting rule 3-2 with the backing of three board members that Trump publicly commended as, quote, pit bulls during an Atlanta rally last month. Though the paper does not mention it, he also described those three members of the state election board, which is supposed to, in general, be sort of neutral arbiters of the and executioners of the state election laws. He also described them as, quote, fighting for victory. Yeah. That's not what election boards, state election boards, are supposed to be doing. In any event, back to the paper, the Republican chair of the board and its lone Democratic member opposed the rule, saying it would introduce confusion so close to the election. It's unknown how long the count would take, the paper notes, especially in large precincts with many voters. Well, that does all sound troubling. As you know, as a critical and closely divided battleground state, there were Joe Biden defeated Donald Trump there in 2020 by just under 12,000 votes, leading Trump to try and steal the state thereafter several different ways, including calling the Republican Secretary of State and trying to muscle him to, quote, find the 11,780 votes that he would have needed to win the state that year. Of course, as longtime critic of as a longtime critic of Georgia's 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting machines, which print out computer marked ballots supposedly based on the voters' touchscreen selections, computer marked ballots which can never be known after an election to actually reflect the intent of any voter. Well, I also have concerns that those ballots, correctly printed or not, are accurately tabulated by the state's optical scan systems in each precinct. And while I have long called for pilot programs to determine if hand counting of hand-marked paper ballots was actually feasible, given that publicly observed human hand counts are the most accurate way to count votes, at least in the closest of elections, it quickly became clear to me on Friday that that was not the new rule that the Trump supporters on the Georgia State Election Board had actually adopted. In opposition to Democrats and state election officials, including the Republican Secretary of State, who were all against this rule, but boy howdy, was it misreported that way. At least by most outlets, there is a lot to be concerned about in the state of Georgia when it comes to voting and the election and the tabulation of results this November. But as far as I can tell, this rule is decidedly not one of them and could arguably make it more difficult for Republicans to mess with the election results in the Peach State this year. I realize this is all still confusing because everyone was reporting they're going to be hand-counting ballots in Georgia. Well, not really. At least not hand-counting results. Joining us now to explain all of this and explain what actually appears to have been adopted by the State Election Board on Friday, the woman whose group, the Coalition for Good Governance, was successful in their federal lawsuit that eventually banned the state's previous unverifiable, insecure touchscreen systems made by Diebold for Georgia, only to then see that system replaced by Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger choosing a newer, also unverifiable, also insecure touchscreen voting system made by Dominion. Anyway, she also is the woman who first exposed the Team Trump MAGA plot to breach Georgia's statewide voting systems in Coffee County, Georgia, where they copied the software and distributed it across the internet, beginning on the day after the January 6, 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, and a plot that would help that we would help break on this program, and which has led now to the indictments of Trump and four other individuals, including Sidney Powell, as part of Fulton County Fonnie Willis's broad conspiracy felony case against the disgraced former president. Yes, if you haven't figured it out yet, it is our friend Marilyn Marks. She is a longtime election expert and champion of free and fair elections, as well as the executive director and co-founder of the Coalition for Good Governance, a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization committed to fair elections and government transparency. Oh, Marilyn Marks, welcome back yet again to the broadcast.
Thank you so much, Brad, for having me.
All right. This sounds very bad, Marilyn. We already know that, MAGA sympathetic folks have, in fact, burrowed their way into election official positions in a bunch of counties and a bunch of swing states and have threatened, should Trump appear to lose the election again this year, to delay the certification of election results at the county level, state level, any way they can, in hopes of causing enough havoc to toss the matter to either the courts or to Congress on January 6th, where, even if Democrats win back the majority this November, they're unlikely to control a majority of state delegations, which get one vote apiece to decide who the president will actually be in the case of a disputed Electoral College vote. And as the media and Democrats have been telling it over the weekend, this move on Friday by the state election board in Georgia to hand count every ballot at every precinct in what could be a tipping point state, well, it's going to cause chaos, confusion, delay after the November 5 election. So as an election integrity advocate yourself and an expert when it comes to Georgia's elections, I assume you are very concerned about all of this. But
I'm very concerned about the misreporting, Brad.
So it's not actually true?
I've never seen anything like it.
So tell it, please clear it up for us. If it's not really true that they're going to be hand counting the ballots, what is true? What was everybody reporting all weekend?
They were reporting out of hysteria for no good reason other than just perhaps to raise outrage. But the rule that was passed, it was simply a ballot accounting rule that most states actually have. And that is before you shut down the polling place on election night, know how many ballots you have collected, confirm that. And before you send your poll workers down to the election office with a pouch of ballots, confirm how many are in that pouch before you send it down to the election office. That is a common sense rule. It will take about 20 minutes at most to implement at most of the polling places in Georgia. That's a rough estimate, but it's just, certainly 10 to 20 minutes would do it. And it is a safeguard on a lot of different things, Brad, including, protecting your poll worker that you don't give him an unknown number of ballots to take down to the courthouse when you haven't confirmed what's in there.
But let me underscore this just to be crystal clear here. What you're saying is Georgia is not mandating the hand counting of election results at the precinct. It is merely mandating that before you pack up the ballots and ship them back to county headquarters, there should be a count of the number of ballots that were scanned at the precinct that day before they are sent back to the headquarters. That's it. The number of ballots, not the actual results on that ballot. Am I correct?
That is correct. Not one single vote will be counted in the precinct. Not one single vote.
And which, by the way, we used to do here, and I don't know, since we've changed from the precinct system to the voting center system here in Los Angeles, I don't know if it's changed, but for years, we did exactly that. It was part of the poll closing procedure. You would take an inventory of the number of ballots cast and essentially reconcile that number with the number of people who signed into the poll books. It was never controversial. It was done for years and years. You're saying that's all they're calling for in Georgia?
That is all they're calling for. And most states do it. I glanced at Massachusetts law, and if I understand it correctly, there the poll manager has to count aloud every single ballot, count how many there are before packing them up and sending them on. This is such a typical process. And some people, let me just go ahead and address this, Brad.
Yeah.
Some people say, but you've already got the count showing on the front of the scanner how many it took in.
Right.
Well, there are all sorts of potential problems with that. We find ballots that get stuck in the corners, the crevices of the scanner, and they don't get taken out. They get put in the write-in bin, and they forget to take them out. They get put in the emergency bin, which have not been scanned for some reason. let's say the scanner's just having trouble with a mm-hmm. few ballots mm-hmm. or the power's down or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they put them in the emergency drawer. So what you definitely want to do, of course, is have your poll workers be sure that they have gotten everything. And the way to do that is to count what you've got, compare it to the poll tape. And if there are major discrepancies, that's the time to figure it out. Not after all the equipment and people get moved, right?
Well, it's
and that, let me mention,
yeah, yeah, I mean, that's what it seems to me. It seems to me, especially if you are concerned mm-hmm. about people, you know, stuffing the ballot box or taking ballots out of the ballot box, to have a reconciliation or at least just a basic count. Okay, we're sending over 300 ballots. We're putting them in this pouch. We're sending it over. When they get there, there should also be 300 ballots when they take them out of the pouch. I don't understand why this is controversial and why so many Democrats and election, you know, voting rights advocates and Republicans like the state attorney general, the state secretary of state. Why is this even controversial, Marilyn Marks?
I have no idea, other than we seem to be in such a hyper-partisan environment right now that, you know, if we can throw some mud, true or not, on the other side, you know, it's a way to build for our team. It's a way to build enthusiasm for our team. Mm. And it's really disappointing that the trusted media has really joined that fray right now.
They
know better. They have the copy of the rules. The rules are not private. They have copies of these things.
Yeah. And, you know, I played Rachel Maddow at the top. She went on and on about this as if it was, you know, the greatest scandal and the Republicans are, you know, their next scheme to steal the election in Georgia. There are plenty of things to worry about on that score, as far as I'm concerned, in Georgia. But this does not appear to be one of them. We'll get to some of them in a bit. So, Marilyn Marks, what happens then? Practically, for people who will say, I mean, a lot of the election officials are saying, oh, this is going to hold things up. It's going to delay the results on election night. Well, it could, because now they have to count these ballots.
No. Because no. The rule, if anybody bothered to scroll down and read the rest of it,
yeah.
The rule says that the poll manager can take the memory card and the poll tape and send it by their couriers. Go ahead and run it straight to the election headquarters where they can upload it and report it to the public while your county poll workers are there at the polling place counting out ballots, which may take them 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. But so there is no reason to hold up even by 3 minutes what the election results reporting is.
Because you can
that
scan
is
over,
just crazy.
You can send over the information on the drive that has already, the ballots have already been scanned. It's on that jump drive, the thumb drive. They can send that over, and because that's what they use to tally these unofficial results, and then they can bring the paper over later.
See, they're already tallied, actually, on that memory card.
Yeah.
And so all they do is they take that memory card, they upload it into the server, mm-hmm. and, you know, it just adds to the tally. So it's not even 1 minute delayed more than it would have been. You know, there's just the same time. So this is a lot to do over nothing.
What happens practically if the scanner reports that, oh, there should be 500 ballots were scanned that day, but a hand count finds 510 ballots or 490 ballots. What happens then if those numbers don't reconcile? Can that then be mm-hmm. used to delay the election?
No. So isn't it better for us to find out on election night so we can try to go find those 10 ballots? Let's find out what that 10 ballot difference was. You know, did they end up in the write-in bin and mm-hmm. that we forgot to pull them out? Mm-hmm. Did we end up having some test ballots that were in the bottom of the scanner that we scooped up and we thought they had been left there by mistake and we thought they were real ballots? Now's the time to figure it out before things start getting commingled and the machines go back to the warehouse. It is not unusual, Brad, at all. We see it happen all the time where ballots get left in scanners in other places.
Yeah.
Why does that matter? Because when you get ready to do a recount or an audit, you'll be missing ballots, mm-hmm. right? Because you're doing your recount and audit in Central.
Yeah.
So and you don't want to figure it out on election night.
Right. You don't want to hear, you know, a week later on these, you know, phony websites like Gateway Pundit, you know, telling us thousands of ballots were missing on election night or have been added since election night. It seems to me that if we get numbers on election night witnessed by at least the public, but certainly by at least three poll workers who apparently have to sign off on all of this saying this
and
is
your
how many
bipartisan
ballots
we have. Watchers.
Yeah.
Your
and,
watchers.
Right. So okay. Nonetheless, it's not just you say it's partisan that Democrats have sort of a knee-jerk reaction to anything that this Republican, very, very Trumpy State Board of Elections does. And by the way, we should note those three members of the State Board of Elections, they are election denialists, as I understand it. That, you know, they are Trumpers, but it seems to me we ought to pick and choose where to put our outrage. But if it is just partisan outrage, Marilyn Marks, why is it that the Republican Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, the Republican Attorney General, are also opposed to this new rule?
Well, certainly the Secretary of State and his attorney will do anything to keep from anyone looking under the hood of that voting system. So they, as little oversight as possible, is exactly what they want. They will always be in that mode of, you know, don't look under the hood. Don't open up anything. Just certify, just go with the numbers you got and don't ask questions. And so that's unfortunately where we are with that.
Well,
but I just wanted to add one more thing on this. You know, this is not really even a new concept in Georgia. The poll workers training manual even says confirm the number of voted ballots that are being delivered to the election office. It says that. How do you confirm that number unless you count them?
Well, that's a good point.
I mean,
if you're gonna be reasonable, Marilyn, that's not going to help at all this season.
It's not going to help,
now,
is it?
Now, here's what seems to be a reasonable point. This, as Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported last week, several county election boards and Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, my good friend, have warned the state election board against passing more new rules. They asked for a 90-day, quote, quiet period leading up to the election. Now, in truth, we're less than 50 days away from the election. I think it's about 6 weeks away at this point, probably less than that when it comes to, you know, in-person early voting. Whether a new rule like this makes sense or not, Marilyn, shouldn't all of this sort of be locked down by now? Do we really want to introduce new rules this late in the game? And I'm asking this seriously because even if they're good rules, it seems like a recipe for potential disaster, a concept of a plan for disaster. How about that?
You know, I want to disagree with that, Brad, because you know, if we were talking about a major overhaul, okay, we're talking about 10 to 15 minutes. In fact, we've posted on my Twitter, Marilyn R. Marks 1, we posted a video of our intern counting out 500 pieces of paper. It took less than 12 minutes, if anybody wants to see. We're talking about a small amount of time, which, as you point out, could save us days and weeks of stress of trying to, once we've lost the chain of custody, try to figure out where those ballots are and then explain to people nothing really bad happened or we don't think anything bad happened. And those are the kinds of things that do cause days and weeks of potential controversy and delay. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, the old saying that it's never too late to do the right thing. This is a small thing taking 10 or 15 minutes, 20 minutes, that can save us days and weeks and lots of headaches and controversy. We should be favoring things that add transparency, that add accountability, and of course we're going to have discrepancies, right? I mean, these are humans running elections. you know, millions of people voting, there are going to be discrepancies.
What if they can't?
Let's find out about them now, not later.
I agree, but what happens if, like in my scenario where the 500 people vote at that precinct, and yet when they do a hand count, they find, you know, 10 more ballots than that or 10 fewer ballots than that, they can't reconcile the number. What happens? Can't that then be used to challenge the results in the state?
Well, no, not really. No, I mean, not unless you've got an election that comes down to those 10 ballots. But presumably, in almost everything you can, every scenario you can come up with, you'll figure out in that next week before you start certifying, you'll figure out what happened to those 10 ballots. And then you will include that adjustment in your canvas so that it can be certified. If you can just never, ever get to the bottom of what happened to that 10 ballots, then somebody is going to have to say, okay, was this a material number? Mm-hmm. Did we have a contest that was decided by three ballots? Now what do we do? But still, in Georgia law, you still have to certify. You have to come up with the best number you can, certify, document it, and then let the courts handle it. But you got to go ahead and certify the best number you can. The argument that the Dems seem to be making is, no, blindfold yourself so that you don't know that there are any discrepancies and maybe let somebody come surprise you with it at the last moment. That does not make any sense, Brad.
Our phone number is 818-985-5735. If you have any questions for me or Marilyn about all of this, 818-985-KPFK. We'll get to a break here and come back with some of your calls if you have any questions about this or anything other voting system related questions. Before I get to that break, Marilyn, the lone Democrat on the Georgia State Election Board, Sarah Tyndall Gazal, she opposed this new rule and a number of others that were put forward by these three Trumper election deniers on the state board. But I believe she was on Democracy Now! This morning basically saying that this rule and the others that have been passed in recent days are setting up the counties for failure, basically, you know, hoping to cause chaos any way possible to make it easier to challenge the election results in court or in Congress. Is any of that going on as you see it, as the Democratic, the one Democratic member of the board suggests?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, who knows what anyone's motives are? And certainly we should go into this with our eyes wide open. As you and I talked the last time, mm-hmm. you were kind enough to have me on as a guest, and we were talking about this rule about reasonable inquiry and should there be reasonable inquiry during the canvassing process. And I say, absolutely, there should. You know, we don't want the same kind of mess we had in 2020. We want the numbers to reconcile. Mm-hmm. And that can be done in canvassing before certification. I disagree with where Sarah Gazal is coming from and others who are basically taking the position of blindly trust whatever comes out of the machines because all of that can be trusted more than the MAGAs. And no, I think transparency is the answer to all of this. Brad, I know you said you're going to break in a minute. Here's something I would like to mention to you and see if we can talk about it.
Yeah.
You were talking about how right now the Democrats are so easily panicked. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you when we come back, mm-hmm. why are they not panicked about Trump stealing the software?
Well, that was actually my next question. We will hold it until after the break because I wanted to ask if we shouldn't be concerned about this. What should we be concerned about in Georgia? Also, I've got a few other questions for you regarding our voting system here in Los Angeles, which also requires that voters vote on a touchscreen machine that prints out its ballots. And you can never know if it's actually what the voter meant to vote. Also, some questions about the voting system in your home state of North Carolina, if time allows, which is also a critical battleground state this year. And as noted in our live listening area, if you have any questions for Marilyn or me related to all of the various nightmares in Georgia and everywhere else, we would welcome your calls. 818-985-5735. Marilyn Marks of the Coalition for Good Governance, expert in all things Georgia voting and much more. She's going to stick around with us for a few more minutes. That's 818-985-KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to the broadcast. Hey, this is Brad. Here at the Bradcast and bradblog.com, we fight for election integrity all year around, like no other media outlet in the nation. But of course, we need your help to help us remain on your public airwaves and completely independent. Please help us continue that fight over your public airwaves by stopping by bradblog.com/donate. And thanks. Welcome back. It's the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com with my guest Marilyn Marks, executive director and founder of the Nonpartisan Voting System Watchdog Group Coalition for Good Governance, about the misreported news that Donald Trump's supporting members of the Georgia State Election Board passed a new rule to require all precincts in the state to hand count the electronically printed touchscreen ballots in the state on November 5th. In fact, they are requiring only that the number of ballots be counted before they're shipped back to the county, not counting the actual results. It's something that many states already do and that we here in L.A. had done at our own precinct for precincts for years without a problem at the close of polls. Marilyn has said she'll be happy to stick around and take some calls. If you have any questions, 818-985-5735. You can also drop me email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And I'm also keeping my eye on my Twitters at TheBradBlog. If you want to ring in there, we do have someone sending in some an email I'll get to in a moment. But Marilyn, so this sounds like another rule that we should not be concerned about in Georgia. But so you mentioned a little bit before the break, what should we be focused on there as you and your group, Coalition for Good Governance, are still awaiting a verdict in federal court in your lawsuit to block the use of Georgia's terrible touchscreen voting machines? What should be our concern today?
Right. And we don't expect that we will be seeing a court order that would have any impact on the November election. Mm-hmm. And so there are still many things that could be done if the state election board, the secretary of state, or even the county officials would act to protect the election. And while some of the people are panicked about these little chain of custody rules, no one wants to talk about the big elephant in the room.
What's the big elephant in the
room? That is the fact that Trump allies stole the system software for Georgia. And there have been no mitigations. We know that they shared it online with untold numbers of other actors. Mm-hmm. And we know from our experts that it is not hard at all to take that software, create malware, and in an undetectable way, suppress votes, flip votes, and generally subvert the election. This is an incredibly serious risk. And it is so disheartening to see that we're spending our time yelling about a little chain of custody rule that's standard in the rest of, most mm-hmm. of the states. Nothing's being done about this, Brad, and the counties seem to just be looking to Secretary Raffensperger, who just kind of waves his hands and says, oh, everything's fine. It's secure. Here, let me give you a I voted sticker.
Yeah, his voting system that he chose against expert advice by folks like you and computer scientists who said, hey, we need hand-marked paper ballots finally at the precinct in Georgia. We don't need another touchscreen system. Of course, Raffensperger didn't listen to any of them. He got a touchscreen system. Ultimately, as you note, these MAGA folks led by then-Trump attorney Sidney Powell actually were able to breach the system, the entire statewide system. They were able to get in via Coffee County, Georgia, this little rural county in the southeastern part of the state, made copies of the software, the proprietary software, shared it all over the place via the internet. And there were some upgrades made to the software by the company Dominion that, might have sealed up some insecurities in the system. But Raffensperger refused to upgrade the voting systems before the 2024 presidential election. what should we take from that? Should we be worried about? Oh, and by the way, that Coffee County breach, that was part of at least five counts, five different defendants in Fannie Willis's state indictment of Donald Trump and about 19 other co-conspirators. Five of them had to do with this Coffee County breach, and yet the Secretary of State has done nothing about it. What should we be concerned about that?
Absolutely. I mean, as one reporter said it to me about Trump's team stealing the software, he goes, Marilyn, one side has the answers to the test here. Yeah, one side has the answers to the test.
Wow.
And, you know, why would we trust any set of candidates, really, mm-hmm. with their hands on the software? Mm. And then the long time opportunity to go in and hack the system in undetectable ways. And you don't have to hack every machine or every county or every ballot by any stretch in a close election like we are expecting in Georgia. You know, all you've got to do is, you know, it was only 12,000 votes last time. Hmm. You don't have to put malware into many counties' central servers to do a little bit of vote flipping. Or, Brad, one of the things I'm worried about is not even before we get to the thought of vote stealing.
Yep.
I worry about chaos being created. Yep. Because it would be so easy
yep.
for someone to shut down the system
yep.
by just writing code that would shut down all the machines at 10 a.m. on election day. There's nothing Georgia could do about it. They are not prepared.
I have an even worse fear that I'm somewhat uneasy mentioning over the air, but it doesn't actually even take a hack when you're dealing with these kind of systems. All you have to do is have, oh, I don't know, half a dozen people in a half a dozen, mm-hmm. dozen different precincts go and tell the election officials, hey, the voting system printed my vote differently than the one I cast. I was trying to vote for Donald Trump. It printed out a vote for Kamala Harris. It doesn't right. even have to be true.
But correct.
A dozen people, half a dozen people could do that around the state. It would cause utter havoc on
right.
election day. It's terrifying.
That's right.
That's, well, among my nightmares. You can also drop me an email here, bradcast@bradblog.com. Listener Jesse writes in to say, hello again, Brad and Marilyn. Last time, I believe I sort of joked and said that Marilyn should call Rachel Maddow and fix her thinking. she said, I thought it was better to do this stuff by hand without computers. Jesse says, can you please call Rachel and tell her how to count? Tell her I said so. Thanks for all, Jesse. Now, is it better to count without computers as the thing that people feared that this actually was going to be, but isn't?
No. And I have two no's for you there. I know you and I may disagree on this, but, you know, machines are good at counting, assuming that they're programmed right. We humans are better at checking whether the computer counted right. And so we would much rather see, yes, check, do the first count by a computer, by the scanners, mm-hmm. and then let's check to make sure that it got the right outcome. We don't have to look at every single ballot to statistically determine whether it got the right outcome. And then for recounts, we are very much advocates for, if it's going to be a close margin recount, yes, do those by hand. But we think it would just take way too long, too many errors introduced. You know, and there is just no point. When you consider that so many races are incumbent only, you don't even have a competitor. Mm-hmm. You really want to spend your you know, thousands of man hours counting races where there's. Where it's not competitive at all.
And of course, that's the argument that people opposed to this rule passed on Friday are using, but they're using it completely incorrectly. That, and I might argue with that argument of yours, Marilyn, we don't have time because there's a caller here to save you, but that's what these Democrats and the Secretary of State seemed to be pretending was done on Friday, and it was not. Let me go to Laura in Los Angeles. Hey, Laura, welcome to the broadcast. Got a question for Marilyn Marks.
I have a suggestion
okay.
that both of you get in contact with the Stephanie Miller Show and have her do a similar kind of coverage of the issue. And
Stephanie knows where to find me. I'm happy to wake up at 6 a.m. for her. She knows where to find me. But you were also said that you were there was a way to raise concern about the stolen software.
Well, I think on her program it would probably get noticed by like Mark Elias and stuff.
Okay. Well, he certainly knows. Thank you for the call, Laura. He certainly knows what happened in Coffee County. Democrats certainly know what happened in Coffee County. The notion that they are not concerned about what happened in Coffee County and how it may affect the results this year is obviously troubling to both Marilyn and myself. Yeah. Marilyn, California now mails a hand-marked ballot, paper ballot, to all registered voters in the state. But voters who choose instead to go to the polls and cast their vote here in Los Angeles County on November 5 or in the several weeks of early voting that we have out here in the nation's most populous voting jurisdiction, if they go to the polls to vote, they will, like Georgia, have to vote on 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems. Do you have similar concerns about our voting machines, our touchscreen voting machines out here? And as you do to the systems in Georgia, and if there is a choice for a voter between a hand-marked paper ballot with an absentee ballot, I might recommend dropping it off rather than mailing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a choice between the hand-marked paper ballot and voting in person on a touchscreen system, which would you recommend for LA voters?
Of course, hand-marking a ballot, and I agree with you, dropping it off at a drop box or better, even at the election office, is the best way to vote. Your listeners should think about it in terms of any time there is a screen, a electronic screen mm-hmm. between the voter and the vote that's recorded. You are trusting your vote to an untrustworthy computer.
Well, but they say that you can check it when it prints out. You can review it. You can don't laugh. That's what they tell us out here in L.A. That's what they tell them in Georgia. You can check the printout of the computer, and so you can see what it says before you put it in the scanner to be tabulated.
Well, that assumes that somebody is going to audit the human readable text that's printed out, and they're going to audit that or recount that. Otherwise, it doesn't even really make any difference about checking that printout. It's, you know, obviously you want to see if you made an error that's showing up, so you ought to look at it.
Uh-huh.
But it's certainly not a protection against an untrustworthy ballot.
Because in fact, even if you verify, and studies show that people don't verify or they don't notice
Correct.
Errors on the ballot that are printed out
Correct.
By the computer, but even if you do verify it and you catch any problems on the human readable text, the scanners don't use the human readable text to count the ballots. They use the
That's
barcode
right.
on there or the QR code that no human being can actually read, correct?
Correct. I guess the one thing I'd say that puts your voting system in better place than some of the rest is that, as far as I know, Trump's team hasn't stolen your software.
As far as you know, I haven't stolen the software. all right. Now, you've been on this program for so many years, Marilyn, discussing concerns about Georgia's voting system and your lawsuit to eventually ban those 100% unverifiable touchscreen systems at every polling place in Georgia, and about the voting system breach that you discovered in MAGA folks breaking in Coffee County, Georgia, after the 2020 election. So I suspect most people think you're from Georgia, but your home state is actually North Carolina, which is another battleground state. It seems like trouble follows you, Marilyn Marks. So
you're gonna blame me.
I am
Mark
going.
Robinson.
Yes, I am. Yes, for Mark Robinson specifically. But so it's another very close battleground state, another election expected to be close this year. How do folks vote in North Carolina? And should we have concerns about that as well this year with Election Day now just weeks away?
Well, we have 100 counties in North Carolina, and luckily, 95 or 96 of them are hand-marked paper ballots. There is an audit on the presidential race. We wish there would be audits on other races as well, but there at least are hand-marked paper ballots. Unfortunately, my county is a large county, Charlotte-Mecklenburg, that uses BMDs. They use ESNS BMDs that have the same problems that your system in LA does, that Georgia's Dominion system does in terms of putting a touchscreen between the voter and the ballot. We fought hard to keep them out of Charlotte-Mecklenburg, but we didn't do it. But luckily, other big counties like Wake County, where Raleigh is actually bigger than Charlotte, they are hand-marked paper ballots. So I think that, at least we have permanent record of the voters' intent for the large majority of North Carolina counties.
So, again, if you live in one of those counties where they force you at the polling place to use a touchscreen voting system, whether it's in Georgia, whether it's in Los Angeles, whether it's in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, there's a lot of counties in Texas, Ohio that do that. In any of those cases, would you again recommend, if they allow you to vote by mail, absentee, and they make it really hard down in Texas, but if it's possible, if that's how you got to vote at the precinct, you recommend getting an absentee ballot and delivering it by hand?
Absolutely. And that's what I've told all my friends in Charlotte, and that's what they're all doing. And out in your area, Brad, Riverside County is all BMD, Dominion BMD. Where the voting system software, like it's Georgia's software, has been stolen. And so you have some folks, I don't think that's too far away from you, is it?
Nope, it's not. It's not.
Okay, those voters absolutely need to be voting by absentee ballot taken down to the office.
Marilyn Marks is the longtime election integrity advocate and the executive director and founder of the Coalition for Good Governance. You can find and support their work. It's critical at coalitionforgoodgovernance.org. You can find her on the Twitters at Marilyn R. Marks, the number one. And, there's still 6 more weeks to go, so she'll probably be back in the broadcast before all is said and done. Hey, thanks, Marilyn.
There'll be more trouble in Georgia.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but you're probably right. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks also to all of our listeners today. Sorry that we weren't able to get to all of the callers, but my thanks to you for trying anyway. We'll try again next time. Also, my thanks to our board operator, Wendell Handy, to my producer, Desi Doyen, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, download at any time for free at bradblog.com. Drop me an email on bradcast@bradblog.com. On the Facebooks, Mastodons, and site still known as Twitter, I am the Brad Blog. See you there until we see you here next time. Hopefully tomorrow. I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
Listening to the Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.